in American Christianity and American modern Christian culture don't get is that Jesus is about what's loving, and we are about what's right. We are concerned with being right, being biblically right, being doctrinally right, rather than being loving. And that's where culture can be. It can be very negative.
Thanks for joining us for today's episode of The Intersection, a podcast where Pastor Jeff Bogue, Pastor Kemp Boyd, and Bishop Joey Johnson take a real look at how race and relationships intersect. How are our unique and diverse lives intersecting with thousands of people on a regular basis? How does the gospel intersect with each facet and issue we face? And how can we set our lives on the life of Christ as a source of compassion for each of our relationships? Keep listening as we cross paths on today's episode of The Intersection.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Intersection podcast, where we look to intersect with you as we all intersect with Jesus at our different intersections at any point in our lives. And so, as always, since it is Christmas time, I want to present two gifts that I want to offer to us here in the body of Christ and beyond. Two of my friends, two of my brothers, I like to say that they're my Proverbs 17:17 guys, right? Friends who love at all time, and brothers who have borne for adversity. That is Bishop Joey Johnson and Pastor Dr. Bishop Jeff Bogue.
Apostle,
wow. Yeah, all the things. So you guys are my gift offering to the world for this time of year, for Christmas. So I have gifts that speak. So they're going to speak to us today, and we're going to talk about some things. But before we get into that, how are the both of you doing?
Doing good. I've had 2 granddaughters in 6 months, so we're loving it, and family's growing. That's a whole new world. So I know I'm young, attractive, virile, motivated, energetic, but I'm a grandpa now too.
Well, congratulations. Amen. Well, I've had all kinds of trouble, but it's good trouble. Just house, furnace failed, and I had to go get a root canal, and just a lot of fun things. But that's all right. I'm here. I feel good. They're just life problems. We just work our way through them.
That's right.
There you go. That's good, good, good. Yeah, everybody ready for the Christmas season? Everybody excited? I know there's many services that are going to be happening. There's going to be candles being lit, songs being sung, all the celebratory things. So are you both ready?
I'm that's getting Jeff, ready.
That's Pastor Jeff. Remember, I'm retooling. I'll be in Florida. I don't have to go to any services or anything like that.
Yeah, I picked it all up. Online. I think we have 10 services. And,
oh, God.
Yeah, but it's a great – that's actually less than we used to have, because we have a gymnasium now we put our services in. So, but it's fun, and it's a great, great chance to share Jesus with people. So it's, you know, it's demanding, but it's like getting ready for a playoff game. Like it's a lot of work, but you can't wait to take the field kind of thing. And then when you get off of it, you're exhausted. So, but it's fun.
Absolutely. So Bishop, back when you were like, wasn't retooling, and did the house of the Lord, did y'all have Christmas Eve service?
Sometimes it just depends on how I felt. I'm not, church people tend to be the kind of people who don't have a life. So they always want to do something. Can we have a Christmas Eve? Can we have a New Year? I said, listen, I got a life. I want to go home to my house and enjoy my house. So some years I did, some years I didn't. It just depends. Church people
don't
want
to. That's what you get here at the intersection. You're going to get honesty.
That's right.
Church people don't want to go home. They want to go to church. Just, I got nothing to do, or my wife's mad at me. So can we have a service?
Well, ours is more outreach oriented. So we get the non-church people and maybe the people from the house of the Lord that didn't have a service. And they would come over.
Come over there. That's what I'm going to say. Listen, Jeff wants you. I don't.
we've been doing this now for, it feels like, forever.
30 years.
Yes. And so we intentionally have labeled this the Intersection Podcast because we want to intersect into the lives of each other, but also talk about how does Christ intersect with us on our journeys throughout life. And I think the one thing now, and we've talked about this seemed like forever, but it was brought up on our last episode, just talking about the cultural divide in the body of Christ and what that looks like. And when I say that, I don't want to say that as a negative thing, because I think having the diversity of culture is really a good thing, because it really, I think, is what it's going to be when we get to heaven, right? You're going to have all these different cultures, all these different things happening and going on. But again, I don't know if it's depicted as something positive as we look at Western Christianity, right? When we talk about the cultural divide. And so, first of all, I feel like we have to define what culture is, right? Like, we can say these words, but a lot of what we've talked about, I think, comes down to race. And we've spoken about race and not necessarily culture. So I'm going to throw this out to you first, Bishop. How do we define culture? And then, Pastor Jeff, I want you to come and follow that up.
Yeah, I mean, I think culture is critical. It can be very good in terms of the diversity aspect of the different people do different things different ways, but it also can be very negative when it is pitted and people become polarized and start to do, this is the way we do things, and it becomes for much of Christianity a right or wrong. This is the right way to do it, and now it then becomes very negative. But I define culture. First of all, let me say culture is one of the most difficult words to define in the English language. One of the times I looked up culture on the internet, and one particular author said that there were like 180 different definitions of culture. I mean, it's very difficult. But to make it very simple, I define culture as the way we do things. It's the way we act, the way we do things. And so each one of us has a particular way of doing things. And when that way of doing things is just simply how we do it, and we're not pitting it against other people or talking about right and wrong, it can be very positive. It's about our people. It's about hanging together with a certain group of people who do things in a certain way. You could add a very positive spin on it and call it what the Bible calls it, discipleship. Or you can make it very negative and make it sectarian, where we are constantly trying to say what's right. And when you're always trying to do what's right, eventually you're going to have to identify those who are wrong. And so you end up being negative or trying to put somebody down or fighting. So that's unfortunate. I believe one of the things that Jesus talks a lot about, and that we in American Christianity and American modern Christian culture don't get, is that Jesus is about what's loving, and we are about what's right. We are concerned with being right, being biblically right, being doctrinally right, being this, being that, rather than being loving. And that's where culture can be. It can be very negative. So culture is important, because if I understand somebody's culture and I am sensitive, it will give me insight into who they are, where they are, and how to love them.
Thank you, Bishop. So culture, as you kind of have looked at, is like, hey, the way that we do things and the way that we know when Bishop was leading the House of Lord is that there were no Christmas Eve services. There was
That's
no
the way we do things.
that's the way we do things. So conversely, coming to you now, Pastor Jeff, because we are going to have Christmas Eve services, and not just one services, but 10. So Pastor Jeff, listening to that kind of culture, the way that we do things, how do you look at and define culture?
I would agree with what Bishop laid down as a foundation. I think there's and I like when we talk about 150 different definitions, it like we could talk about the definition of culture for the rest of the day, So part I was listening to what he was saying, and then I was kind of thinking about it. I wrote down, I was just scribbling. I said the culture is the thoughts and opinions and practices that are formed through the environments we're raised in. And so I think it's another way of saying this is how we do things. But the as I'm raised in a culture, family, national, Christianized subcultures, I have thoughts, I have opinions, and I have practices, and they form in me what I think is right or wrong, or what I think is normal, and even what I think is good or bad. And so, if you go to, if you go study like anthropology and you find some of these remote or lost tribes, like their whole moral foundation would be completely different than like a westernized moral foundation, you know, if, for example, what they value is different than what we would value, et cetera, et cetera. Well, then you just nuance that, and you nuance that through families. You nuance that through, you could nuance that through race. You could nuance that through, I was raised in the city. I was raised in the country. I was raised conservatively. I was raised liberally, et cetera. And you wind up forming kind of your personal culture. And then that's nationalized and all the rest. But it's the things that speak into you, right? So, like, we would, I remember we talked about this a long, long time ago. We're talking about the white church and the black church, and how the black church, some of the culture was formed out of out of slavery, and there was a lot of like freedom, oppression, free me. That's a lot of how we would view or grab hold of pieces of the scripture, and it would feed into that culture. And I remember I said that's fast. That fascinated me. I think Bishop, you said that. Or something along those lines. And then I thought that's fascinating. And I comment,
I
I said,
think
because
that
I
was me,
was,
Pastor Jeff. I think I said that one.
oh, did you? Okay, you said that, Pastor Ken. But I just responded, said it's fascinating because I was raised on a victory in Jesus mindset, an overcoming mindset, a victory mindset. Well, that's a culture. No one was doing someone wrong, and no one was teaching the scriptures per se incorrectly. But our culture informed how we even thought about Jesus, you know? And so that's what I think. It's kind of those thoughts, those opinions, those practices, and they're tied to the environment of what were normalized as we were being raised or growing, so to say.
That's good stuff, Pastor Jeff. Let's talk a little bit about something that I'm studying and reading on right now, how that throws us into a particular place so that the reason we end up polarized is because most of us aren't thinking. We're not thinking. We've been enculturated in certain ways, and there
Oh,
are
that's good.
automatic responses because culture allows me to respond without thinking. It makes it easy for me because I know what's accepted, I know what's moral, I know what should be, I know how things ought to be done, so I don't have to think about them. That's probably one of the impacts then of why American Christianity is in the state it's in, because the Bible is trying to give us kingdom culture, and we are already enculturated.
Yeah.
So how is that going to work when I'm trying to tell you this is the kingdom of God, this is the culture of God, and you're saying, well, that's not what we that I didn't learn it that way, I didn't grow up on that, or I
Yeah.
didn't. Okay, whether you did or not, this is what God is saying to you, how he wants you to be transformed, reformed. I was reading, and I'm doing some stuff on formation, reading a book on formation, dealing with the formation that we try to make through Bible study, or the formation when Bible study is planted in relational soil. And we are all formed. We talk about character formation in Christianity as if your first formation is going to be when you get saved. No, we're all formed. We're
Yeah.
formed by the culture that we grew up in. We already have character formation. What we need is character reformation, transformation, which unfortunately does not happen solely by information. And that's what I've been working on, because I look at the church and I wonder, how can we be read the Bible so much and be so mean? Well, something's wrong. And that's because Bible study must be planted in the soil of relationship. Jesus did not say, if you study, You will keep my commandments.
That's right.
He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. The commandments comes after the love, not before the love. And yet, that's said so many times in the Bible, and it just flows right over us. Why? Not because we are choosing not to do it, but because I'm already formed.
So Bishop, so you said Bible study must be planted where?
In the soil of relationship.
Relationships.
Yeah. And that soil has four, we're not going to talk about it today, but it's got four kinds of soil: joy, hesed, steadfast covenant love, identity formation, and healthy correction. Those are the four soils that I need for Bible study to really produce character. Otherwise, what it produces is self-righteousness.
Yep.
Doesn't produce character.
Joy, love, healthy correction.
And identity formation. In other words, who you're with will form how you see yourself. The disciples form their identity around Jesus and what and walking with him. Not some Bible study, but a genuine, authentic relationship, which includes experience, Bible study, all of that.
I appreciate Pastor Jeff what Bishop said, and I think he was probably telling on himself a little bit when he said, "Man, how can we read the Bible so much and be so mean?" I often feel like that on this podcast, Pastor Jeff, that you know Bishop is just being mean to me, you know. And so I appreciate the Holy Spirit leading Bishop
Convicting
down the
him.
yes.
And I repent. I'm glad to repent.
So that was some deep stuff there, Pastor Jeff. I mean, how was that? You know, let's pick that up for a second and kind of, I don't want to say tear it apart, but let's lean into that because I think I love the whole, you know, culture allows me to respond without thinking, but then also the kingdom culture versus the cultures that we were kind of enculturated in. Like I saw you over there writing and kind of like in your own way, amening or giving a call and response without amening. But you were shaking your head.
This is an area like Joe and I don't agree on everything theologically. When he gets to heaven, he'll realize I was right. But when one of the things that we agree on actually very, very deeply is that the point of the scripture is relationship. And what the scripture is revealing is not information about God. It's revealing the heart and the mind of God so that you
Amen.
can know that God, be transformed by that God, and then follow that God and become like him, basically be transformed. So the renewing of the mind is not the information cleansing where I was an atheist and now I'm a Christian. The renewing of the mind is a filter, so to say, in which I look through everything and I see through Jesus's eyes, which causes me then, which is the eyes of love, which then causes me to think that way. And I think through the lens of love. So a statement that I say a lot is that behavior will never produce love, but love always alters behavior. And we put too much information. This is even the weakness of counseling. Like me understanding my childhood does not make me a different person. It gives me information. I like to say that counseling is really good for identifying weaknesses. After that, it's discipleship. How do I take what I now know is my weakness, yield it to God, and have it transformed and renewed so that love is my response, as opposed to, say, anger being my response. So it's a huge, huge thing. And what happens, I think Joey's statement about culture causes us to respond without thinking. I'm like, that's brilliant, because that's exactly what it is. It creates a human impulse. It's aggravated then by social media. So social media, as an example, only agrees with you. It never disagrees with you. Now, ready? That's the way Satan works. Satan will never disagree with you, because there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. So Satan wants to steal, kill, and destroy you. So he knows all I have to do is feed the thing you already want to hear, and you'll lead yourself to your own death, so to say. So he never disagrees with you. God only disagrees with you. So he pushes against the old man, and he pushes against the sin nature. And then the Christian life is us trusting God's love and yielding to that, so that we become lovers of people instead of users of people, and all the rest. So that is where the kingdom always clashes with every culture. Whatever humanity you were raised in, the scriptures and the Holy Spirit is going to go unplug within you, because those the kingdoms of the world are defined by the evil one, the Bible says. So none of those things are rooted in Christ. They're rooted in the parts of Christ you want. But deep transformation is gonna change you completely. That's why, like, I get, if you ever want to make me aggravated, say to me, American used to be a Christian culture. We used to be a Christian culture. I'm like, we owned people. What are you talking about? Like, women couldn't vote. Like, what are we talking about? Like, that's not true. If you said there were some biblical principles in our governing system, I'm like, okay. But what we did was we took Jesus and made him mean what we wanted him to mean instead of being transformed by it. And we were raised with maybe a Jesus language as opposed to a Muhammad language, but it didn't cause us to be more like Jesus. Now, there were genuine Jesus followers, there's always a remnant, right? But the idea that you're going to take something worldly and make it Jesus, I'm like, no, the worldly thing has to go away. And then there's like this whole other truth and kingdom that comes and rules in place. And that's actually what the church is supposed to represent,
Absolutely.
is the playing out of that kingdom. Amen.
But
That's
Pat,
good.
Brother Kemp, Pastor Boggs is never more brilliant than when he agrees with me.
It's probably true. It's
He's
probably
giving some
true.
powerful stuff there. And I've got the scripture for it today. We're
Okay.
going to have a scripture verse today.
Okay.
Watch this. You'll find this a powerful scripture. You search the scriptures
Yeah.
because in them, you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and yet you will not come to me for eternal life. You search the scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life, and they testify of me, and yet you won't come to me. So you have a searching, a biblical study framework mind. Searching the scripture, looking for eternal life. They are testimonies. We have hallowed the testimony and won't go to the one who the testimony is about,
Yeah.
Jesus.
Man. Man, that's good.
And again, we're not going to be able to get all this in today, but I think, as I continue to listen to both of you, this we're getting out of, yeah, because I think in particular cultures, we value information so much.
Absolutely.
And then wonder why, going back to the scripture that you just read, Bishop, that we don't see any change. We don't see things being transformed, right? Like it's no different than, going to a gym. I can have the information that says, hey, these are the things I need to do to get better in shape, to lose the weight. I can get all the information, but until I actually start going and applying and activating
Yep.
in some of these areas, nothing's really going to transform or take place or redefine or none of these different types of things. And so why do we get hung up? Like have we made in our cultures, have we made even the culture that maybe we were born out of, that we currently live in, and all these things, have we made these things idols among
Well, the part of the problem is culture is so unconscious that this is the problem, that we are unaware of the tremendous impact that the culture is having upon us. So it's not one of the things that I'm starting to talk a little bit about, and Pastor Jeff, you can steal some of this because
The
I know
human
you want to.
impulse. Oh, I steal all your stuff, Joey.
One of the things I'm talking about is while we have, because of the Enlightenment and Greek orientation and whatever, we have overemphasized not only intellect, but choice. And we believe that we can change our behavior by choice. I'm thoroughly convinced that for the most part, we cannot. And we change our behavior through relationships. We change our behavior by being a part of a group that I become connected to, attached to, where I experience joy, love,
No, Bishop, but I don't
attention.
need nobody, Bishop.
That's the part of the problem right there.
I don't
Because
need
of the
nobody.
individualization of America and the impact. The key to this is unconscious. It's unconscious. And the key to a Christianity and character formation is the same thing. We think we can consciously act like Jesus when I believe it's got to be internalized until it becomes unconscious, just because it becomes a culture. The kingdom culture is now operating from our hearts, not operating from our heads, not operating from a choice. If I look at somebody and I got to choose, it's going to have a lot of difficulty. And that's the reason why Pastor Jeff said earlier, the same thing. Somebody says, we want to make America great again. I asked the question, well, when was it great? When was it great? You mean you want to make America like it was in the past? That doesn't mean it was great. When we had slavery, when we had, that's when it was great. But those are unconscious kinds of motivations, movements, impact. And so we need to practice Christianity in community, in multi-generational communities of love until we are transformed. That's called discipleship.
So, Pastor Jeff, I'm going to attempt to do this. I feel like I've attempted this many times, but you have to take possession of this. I'm going to attempt to give you the last word today. Now, that's going to be difficult.
He don't get the last word.
See,
I'm the
see, see, see,
oldest.
see.
I don't
I'm
even know
trying.
why we're pretending that. I don't even know why we're
But if
pretending
you
this is
want me
going
to
to happen.
pretend, I will pretend that he's here today. Let's pretend.
Oh man. Go ahead, Pastor Jeff.
So I was thinking about this before we got on the call here, but when I think about cultural divides in the church, I think there are times when we truly have different perspectives and it causes a cultural divide. I like a certain music, you like a certain music, there's a cultural divide. I like my son is on staff at a Church of God is where he is pastoring, and he's like, man, he goes, I like a talk back congregation, and like my if you don't talk back in my congregation, it'll be weird. So I'm like, it's fine. So there's different perspectives, and that's no big deal. I don't think that's a big deal. I think sometimes there's genuinely different solutions. So, like, I have a solution. I have a different solution. I'm not sure that either one of those solutions are wrong. We'll try to make the other one wrong, but I'm like, there's more than one way to get somewhere. I think where we start getting into sin is two things. One, it's when there might be prejudices. Like you're the white church, you're the black church. I'm like, how do we get to talking about skin color here? Wait a minute. Like what's going on? And I always I do quote Bishop all the time when he says most people aren't racist, they're ignorant. Like they don't know people. And I'm like, yeah, And there is unknown, unseen, unrecognized prejudices that we have. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're hateful. It means that you didn't know that they were there, and when they're pointed out to you, it enlightens your mind. And that cuts in every, it doesn't matter what color, shape, culture you are, right? But it has to be yielded to God, is my point. It's not just an honest disagreement. It's not a debate of ideas. Now we're talking about heart issues. Maybe I didn't know that was in my heart and my mind. Now I do. It needs to be yielded to God. Here's the biggest thing that I think we deal with today in the church. I've been saying a lot lately, I don't think people come to church to find God right now. Many people, they come to church to be agreed with. And what we do is we've turned church into our social media algorithm, that unless God and the Word of God and the pastor of God is agreeing with me, I'm out. And I would look at fellow believers and I would say, that sounds a lot like a false teacher to me, who will only preach what tickles the ears of the listener. So the house of God is a place that you should feel uncomfortable in. You should feel loved, accepted,
Amen.
but the truth of God cuts against the grain of our humanity. And if there's never a cut against the grain of our humanity, then you're not hearing the truth of God. And so the word of God is beneficial for correcting and rebuking and training in righteousness. So it's when I'm going to war with the Word of God and when I'm going to war with the Spirit of God, and this is where I really do agree with Joey when you're saying, how can we read the book and we wind up hating each other? Like, how in the world did that? Well, that's not the Spirit of God. Even if your enemy is to be loved and be seen with compassion. Even the wicked, even though they're judged, they're to be loved, and we're to mourn the loss of their soul. So that's where we cross that Rubicon, and I'm like, that's what I'm always looking for in my life. I'm like, do I just disagree with you? That's fine. That I think in many ways, like when Bishop and I are teasing or laughing about theology, I'm like, we just disagree. I don't think he's not a believer. I just don't agree with him. So it becomes a thing we tease about or talk about, not an accusation.
Yes.
When those prejudices start getting in there, your heart very much needs to be in play. And then when you're like, God better agree with me or I'm out, I'm like, wow, you have hardened your heart toward the things of the Lord. And I think that those are like the continuum of those cultural divides and how they take anchor in the people of God.
Man, that's really good. I think it goes
Well,
back to
Pastor
your
Kemp, I
point.
can't say
Wait,
nothing because I'm not
now. Wait,
allowed.
hey. We just
Not
had the
allowed.
last word now, Bishop.
No, I'm
No,
just gonna tell you what
Bishop.
to write down. That's all. That's all. I can't say anything about what he said because I'm not allowed to. But the two things we ought to talk about is we want to be agreed with. I like that statement. Because we want to be told that we are right.
Yeah.
That's part of the problem. But then number two, let's talk a little bit about the implicit biases of our culture. There are biases that are implicit. They're not explicit. They're not something that we necessarily are consciously aware of, but they are biases and they're there.
All right, I wrote it down.
You're a good transcriber. Thank you.
You could have been a scribe in the King's
Man,
Court.
that's
What are
what
you,
I
a
am. Hey,
biblical
listen,
scribe?
I'm just trying to be more like Joshua with y'all. Y'all are my Moseses. I'm just trying to be Joshua. That's all. That's all. But I love like some of the things that a lot of the quotes, man. Man, that's really strong because what you're saying there at the end, Pastor Jeff, when you say, "Hey, Satan only agrees with you," and then that becomes a product of that's what we're searching. because that becomes comfortable. We don't want discomfort. We don't want the correction. Like, we're just trying to get agreed with. And so, go ahead. I see you're going to say something. Go ahead. Go
Me,
ahead. Yeah, go ahead, Pastor Jeff. You got.
I just think that is it's just a true statement. He
Yeah.
will never disagree with you because our own wisdom and our own life will lead us to destruction. Why would he interfere with it?
Yes.
You know,
Amen.
that's what he wants.
Yep.
Christ, the reason Jesus tells you a sinner is not to condemn you, it's to awaken you,
Yes.
because you would never come to that conclusion on your own.
No. No.
Satan never reveal when you get caught in sin, that's not the devil. That's the Lord. The
Yeah.
Lord's rescuing you.
Yeah.
So it's a
Pastor Kemp, write down one more thing.
Oh my
I know
goodness.
you're not allowed. You get
Look,
cantankerous when I tell
somehow,
you
Pastor
anything.
Jeff, he's getting the last word.
Oh, I know. I just
Anything.
why is that? We just
Anything.
need to let it
Let's talk
happen.
about healthy correction and unhealthy correction.
Yeah.
Because in the church, there's going to be some correction at some point. How do we do it?
Yeah, how do we do that?
I can't talk. That's next time. I'm not allowed to say anything.
You know, I got some
He's
correction
not
I got
gonna
to
do it.
do.
He's gonna be stubborn now.
Yeah,
He
oh
might as well
yeah.
give
Now
up on it.
he's the bump on the log right now, right? Like he's Oh
Not
man.
allowed to talk. Not allowed to talk.
That's good.
This reminds me. I just watched this movie with my kids. It reminds me when Luke Skywalker met Yoda, and Yoda's like, "Go ahead and go." Like he wouldn't help him anymore. So our wise leader is like, "You're on your own."
Yes. I'm gonna be quiet. I ain't gonna say nothing. He's mourning his all black on over there. He's in a mourning state. But this is the fun that we get to have with one another. I've
Absolutely.
always appreciated you, brothers, and miss y'all tremendously. I want to wish you and your families, your congregations, a very, very Merry Christmas. And I thank you for your presence in my life and the ministry of presence that you give, not just to me, but to our audience and all the great things that you all are able to share. And Bishop, I'm going to allow you to dismiss us today he's protesting. You protested, Bishop. Come on.
Let me say one thing before I dismiss this. Pastor Jeff, I'm sure you have not heard, and this will be good news to you, and it may be encouragement to you. The house of the Lord has paid off its mortgage.
Oh, that's awesome. Praise the
We
Lord, man.
started at somewhere between $8 and $11 million. I don't even remember, but I do remember that our monthly
Amen.
payment was $80,000 a month.
Wow. Wow.
Most people can't relate to that because that's how much they made all year.
Yeah.
Much $80,000 a month, and we owe no one anything but love.
Praise the
Praise the
Lord,
Lord.
man. That's
Amen.
amazing.
It's
Amen.
one. It is absolutely wonderful.
Bishop,
And
I'm sure that that is a, because when you lead people into faith, you feel responsible. And so I'm sure that is a massive source of joy and almost relief. If you haven't done that before, it's hard to understand a little bit, but it's you looked at everybody and said, "Trust me," and they did, and you feel like you kind of finished the journey. That's praise the Lord, man. That's amazing.
God is good. Okay, I'm gonna pray because Kemp tells me what to do. And if I don't do what he tells me to do, then I probably won't get another award next year
Oh my
from
goodness.
Love Akron.
Bless us, Bishop.
Father, thank you for this great opportunity to meet with friends, brothers, our family members in the gospel. Let this season be blessed by your spirit. Bless my brothers, their churches, that everything their hands touch. We thank you for your grace during this season and that you are the God who loves us. And you've sent Emmanuel, who wants to be God with us. Thank you so much for your concern and your love and the joy you pour into our lives. And we thank you for this ongoing podcast. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Love you, brothers.
Love
Thank
you
you all for
guys.
tuning in again for another episode of The Intersection. We'll meet you here, right here at this intersection. next time. Stay blessed.
Thanks for jumping in with us today as we continue to seek God's voice navigating all of the intersections in each of our lives. You can subscribe and follow us on Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, and YouTube. And we'd love to hear from you, so feel free to submit any feedback or questions to intersection@loveakron.com. That's intersection@loveakron.com. And we'll see you next time at the intersection.